What's going on, my playful poltergeist protagonist? On this episode, Ghost Joe and the Nat Man go over some Rockstar Ghosts. They go over some UFO news, some I Read It on Reddit, Haunted eBay, and Edgegrave Dave reviews the monkey. That and much, much more only on the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast. Let's get it started.
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
I'm Nat Man.
Oh, and it's the Nat Man. We got the Nat Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm back.
Happy
you betcha.
I'm happy to have you back, buddy.
Thanks. Sorry about my about being missing in action.
Mine and Nat's schedule kind of conflict a lot, so you know it's a little bit tough. But
yeah.
You know, we're here now, and
it's dicey, but
that's all that matters. You know, we got a great show for you tonight. We're gonna have some paranormal news, some UFO news. We're gonna talk about rock star hauntings, not hauntings that haunt rock stars, but musicians that have been seen as, you know, ghosts and whatnot. So, and yeah, I have a couple other things planned. Oh, we have some, I Read It on Reddit, and we have some haunted eBay. So it's a full show.
Oh,
so let's
yeah.
get going before we both fall asleep. So right now, Nat, I'm actually going to talk about, this. It's yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's, all right. So, I don't know if you know this. Well, Nat knows this, that I'm like huge into, you know, virtual reality and stuff like that. I love my VR headset and stuff, right? So there's this new article that just came out. David Glowacki. David Glowacki, a researcher at the University of Santiago de Compostela in Spain, experienced a life-threatening fall. Yeah, right? He experienced a life-threatening fall in 2006 that led to a near-death experience, removing his fear of death. He doesn't fear death anymore. He now aims to replicate these psychological benefits for others using virtual reality. His project targets individuals with life-threatening illnesses, providing them with simulated near-death experiences to potentially reduce anxiety and stress. Prior studies suggest that such experiences can lead to a sense of peace and acceptance of death. So I actually, one of the first things that I ever saw with virtual reality that kind of sold me on it was I saw this YouTube video of I believe it was a Japanese family, a Japanese mother,
okay.
where her young, like 8-year-old daughter had passed away. And they recreated her daughter in virtual reality.
Holy shit.
Using her other daughter's like mannerisms and stuff like that. And her mother, like you could see this on YouTube. It's like really, you're going to cry, man. It's like, it's really emotional.
I think I'll hold off. I have a daughter myself.
And yeah. And it's like, she's playing with the daughter and talking with her. And she has all these haptic things on, right? These haptic like gloves and stuff where she actually feels her daughter. And like when her daughter hugs her, she could feel her daughter hugging her.
Wow, that's freaky.
And yeah, it's real wild. Really, really wild. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing though. I mean, maybe in her case it was good, you know, because she probably got some closure and stuff like that.
Maybe doing it once but, to get the closure.
I mean,
but doing it consistently, don't you think that that's
right.
kind of like he's knowing her death over and over again. Every time you shut the headphone
right, well,
door.
I think it was just this, yeah. Well, it was just this one time, you know, this company had did it for this lady,
well,
you know, because she was having a really hard time. She was having a really hard time. And like, I mean, it's pretty, like I said, it's super emotional. Like you even see like towards the end there, she like tucks her daughter into bed and like the daughter floats up to, you know, floats up into the sky and stuff. And it's pretty crazy. So yeah, I mean, I love virtual reality, man. It's just going to get even crazier and crazier, you know, more and more realistic.
I tried putting one of those goggle things on, and I got basically seasick.
It depends on what you do. You know, like if you're going to go onto like a roller coaster ride, that's going to make you sick.
Yeah.
You have to get what they call VR legs. You know, you gotta kind of get used to it. But yeah, like I've been using virtual reality for like 5 years.
Yeah, but you don't get too sick.
No. Yes, I do. But I still can't.
Really?
I still can't. But I still can't go on these roller coaster VR roller coaster rides or racing games and stuff because it's going to make me nauseous.
Wait a second.
So there's still certain things that I still can't do, even 5 years later.
If I remember correctly, when we went on the cruise, I was the only one throwing up. Out of all of us. What do you mean you get seasick?
The cruise is a little different.
I was taking pills. I had to take pills and I was still throwing up.
Yeah, but don't put me on like a rowboat or something. I can't do that.
We did. The whale watching. Don't you remember?
It's rocking a lot.
Don't you remember the whale watching the situation?
Oh, right over the side. I felt sick too, all right? I felt sick also.
Yeah, but I was the only one who vomited.
Yeah.
I don't know. I tried it.
I was close.
I was working at an Office Depot. My boss told me, give it a shot. And I put them on and I got so dizzy wearing it. I didn't really like it. But you've been doing it for a long time now.
Yeah. Yeah. About 5 years now. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing, though, that this guy is trying to do, though, trying to help people, kind of cope with death and stuff like that. I think that's a cool
thing. How much does something like this cost for you to do?
I don't know. Well, right now, it's just, he's just like,
that lady.
He's just doing studies right now on it. That lady, I don't know.
I mean, think about this. If they're really doing this for people, they're going to probably charge an arm and a leg. You think of people like me.
Unless maybe it's just, for a test thing. Maybe it would be free, because they're testing it.
True.
Now onto something else, though, Nat. There was actually, have you ever heard of the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter?
It sounds familiar.
So the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter, also known as the Hopkinsville Goblins case, is a famous UFO incident that occurred on the night of August 21st, 1955, near Kelly and Hopkinsville in Kentucky. A group of 5 adults and 7 children claimed that small alien creatures attacked their farmhouse, and they defended themselves with gunfire for nearly 4 hours. The incident received widespread media coverage and became one of the most well-documented UFO cases in history. Despite the lack of physical evidence, though, the story has persisted and even inspired cultural references, such as the trope of little green men. That's where that came from.
Really?
They were said to have been about 3 feet tall, with large ears, talons for fingers, and yellow glowing eyes, and also silver metallic skin. So after battling these goblin looking things, they all went to the closest police station, prompting 4 cops to check out the location. And the cops found they found signs of struggle, but they found no alien beings or anything like that. Some say that it may have been a large breed of owls. Because you think about it, an owl, because they do have very large owls,
large.
Owls have yellow eyes and they have big ears and they have talons, So people are saying it could have been owls. Some say it could have been just mass hysteria with all of them, like the Twilight Zone episode, the monsters of Duo Maple Street, Street, something like that. Others say, obviously it could be a hoax. But Steven Spielberg was actually going to make a movie about this story in the 70s. And shortly before that, before he was thinking about this story, he had made Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But instead, something stopped him from making this movie about the little green men. And instead, in 1982, he made E.T.
Mm-hmm. Little brown men.
Yeah.
Now tell me something. They had 4 hours worth of gun war there between these aliens. Did they not have these aliens fire back at them? Or were they just shooting at the aliens and nothing happened?
Said that, basically,
it was four hours long, Joe.
Evading their gunfire, and they said that they kept jumping in the trees and going, like, disappearing into the trees and stuff like that, which could be another reason why
owls. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
But yeah, you know, so
dude, they have I actually
never heard of that case before.
It's like a farmland or something. It's 4 hours worth of gunshots. I'm amazed no one called the cops.
Yeah. It was in Kentucky. So,
I mean, four hours worth of gunshots, someone else would have heard and called the cops. Or someone else in that family would have called the cops while it was actually happening. Or since they own guns,
I'm sure there's gunfire a lot out there.
And took a picture of what they were seeing.
Well, this was 1955.
Okay. Well, all right.
Yeah.
But still, it was probably worse. Once again, 4 hours worth of gunshots, you would think one of the neighbors would have heard something.
Yeah. Possibly.
Interesting.
So, yes, sir. So, after all that, I'm sorry. Excuse me. We also have a horrible review. We have a horrible review coming up later too, where Edgegrave Dave reviews The Monkey. So I can't wait for that, you know, because I actually want to see that movie too. It looks kind of
The
creepy.
Monkey?
The Monkey. Yeah.
I got to look that one up.
It's a new horror movie that's out. It's out in the movies now, actually.
How come I've never heard this?
I do not know. But it's out there.
Is it commercials for it?
It's out there. Yeah. I've seen commercials for it. Sure.
The Monkey.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's called just The Monkey. Yeah.
I gotta look that up.
So now let's get into our first thing here. Let's get into rock star ghosts.
Okay.
All right. So the first one I got up here is Buddy Holly. Now, for those of you, I mean, we've said it before, but Nat and I are musicians and stuff, and you know we've been into music for a very, very long time, all of our lives and stuff, and playing music and stuff like that. So this really interested me. I know that about ghosts of rock stars and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. So the first one is Buddy Holly. If you know music history, you would know that Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens had died in a plane crash in 1959. And it's commonly referred to as the day the music died. The residents near the Clear Lake, Iowa field where the plane went down claim that they witnessed phantom lights in the sky and in the field. Just out of nowhere, they see these lights. There's reports of hearing Buddy Holly's music near his grave in the city of Lubbock, Texas cemetery. And his former classroom of his high school, while it's very late at night, you might hear Buddy Holly music just playing out of nowhere. So I like Buddy Holly's music.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
It's very out of all 50s.
Out of all three of them that died or whatever, I thought his was the best.
Yeah, I agree. I think he probably had more hits than all of them.
Well, him and Big Bopper were the oldest of the group, I think. In music, I don't mean age-wise.
Yeah, Richie was only like 17, I think.
He only had like 3 or 4 songs.
Right.
Yeah. I think.
So the next one is my man, Jimi Hendrix. a lot of people claim to have seen Jimmy's ghost at the legendary Electric Lady Studios in New York City. I've actually been in there, Nat.
You went to Electric Lady Studios?
I went in there once. I never played in there, but I actually had toured it for one time, like many, 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 many years ago.
Any stories out of that?
What was crazy was, not ghostly stories, but a little story that when I was there, I was talking to one of the guys, and he looks over at one of the engineers, and he says to me, he goes, "Oh, you see that big, big, gigantic teddy bear that's in the... that's in the recording studio over there." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You know who left that here last week?" I said, "Who?" He goes, "Michael Jackson." I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool."
Cool, but weird.
I don't know why he would need a gigantic teddy bear in there, but it's Michael,
Yeah, that's true.
So, So another haunting is Sid Vicious, you know, from the Sex Pistols, of course. Some believe that Sid's spirit haunts the infamous Chelsea Hotel in New York City, where he lived with Nancy Spungen. So that's pretty cool. I was never a big Sex Pistols fan.
I'm not either.
Really, like a big, but, like real punk fan. Yeah.
Me particularly.
But you got to respect the man.
And yeah, as I said, I was going to say the same thing. I'm not a big fan, but I respect because they basically were the biggest of that genre. And, you know, they've influenced many, many. Yeah. I mean, there are a few punk bands that I like. I mean, I'm not huge into it, but because of an old band I was in, they showed me a few of the weird stuff.
Yeah. So another guy, actually part of the 27 Club, like Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, the lead singer of The Doors. Jim Morrison is said to haunt the apartment building where he lived in Los Angeles. People claim to hear his voice and see his ghostly figure. Jim Morrison.
Cool.
Yeah. And now here comes the big one, because there's a lot with this guy. The king himself, Elvis Presley.
Uh-huh.
He's seen pretty much everywhere. This man gets around, even in the afterlife. It's pretty crazy. He's seen at the Graceland Mansion in Memphis, Tennessee. Visitors have claimed to hear footsteps and even see his ghost. The ghost of Elvis Presley has been reported to be seen in several locations, particularly in and around Memphis, Tennessee, where he lived and worked. Some notable places are Graceland, of course, his home. Which visitors and staff have reported strange occurrences such as unexplained sounds, sightings of a figure resembling Elvis, and a feeling of his presence in certain rooms.
That's cool.
Another place would be the former RCA Studio B, the recording studio in Nashville, where Elvis recorded many of his hits, has also been mentioned in ghost stories with reports of unusual noises and sightings. Another place is the Peabody Hotel, located in Memphis. This hotel has its own ghost stories, but some of them have seen Elvis's spirit wandering the hallways. So I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
You know, I don't know if you would know if it's his ghost or if you think of, you know, an impersonator,
yeah,
because there's so many impersonators out there.
So, I mean, to be honest, you have all of them. He sounds like he would be the coolest to actually meet. See?
Right?
Come on, the king.
Here's another guy. John Lennon.
Oh,
The former Beatle is said to haunt the Dakota Building in New York City, where he was tragically shot. And actually, if people don't know this, he was shot on December 8th. Right, 1980, which December 8th is the same day that Dimebag Darrell was shot.
In, wow.
What was it, 2005? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on the same day. So, yeah, people have seen his apparition and felt his presence in that hotel, in the Dakota Building. This one I thought was pretty cool. Freddie Mercury.
Really?
He's reported to haunt his former home in London. Some fans believe that his spirit lingers, especially in the room where he passed away. And here's the king of pop now. The king of pop has been linked to several ghost sightings, particularly at his Neverland Ranch. People have claimed to see his ghost dancing or walking around the property. And if you go near the Ferris wheel, you might be able to hear a faint hee hee or shamo. I added that last part. Sorry.
That was great.
I've been working on that one all day, ladies and gentlemen, okay?
That was funny. I did not see that coming. Oh, that was awesome, dude.
So the last one we got on the list is unfortunately another person that joined the 27 Club, which is Janis Joplin. The legendary rock singer is said to haunt the room at the landmark Motor Hotel in Los Angeles where she died. Guests have reported strange occurrences and the feeling of her presence. So that's our list of rock star ghosts, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that one. And if you've ever visited any of these places, or if you'd like to or whatever, if you've had any experiences or seen any of these people, please give us a call at 845-600-0744. Or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com and, you know, let us know about it. We'd love to hear your story about it.
For anybody who's into, I guess, the classic vintage horror movies or horror/comedy movies, Moment of Silence, what was his name that passed away today? Gene Hackman. I think he was a part of the Young Frankenstein. And Lex Luthor will now visit Superman in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, man. And the investigation is still ongoing with that. So we don't know exactly what happened.
All three died, including the dog.
I know. That's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, he was plenty of great movies. This said, I just kept thinking in my head, Christopher Reeve's son's doing a whole documentary film about his father.
Right. Yeah.
And now this just happened.
Yeah. That's crazy. So now let's do a quick I read it on Reddit. Now, mind you, Nat, this I read it on Reddit. We have a new addition to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. It's my buddy Al that's going to be talking and narrating this cool I read it on Reddit. The I read it on Reddit is called House Full of Demons. So,
okay.
Check this out.
A house full of demons. I'm an investor, and I purchase rundown houses and rehab them as a side hustle. I sold my primary house in Massachusetts in 2020 and purchased a few rentals in Florida on the two adjoining lots in need of major repair in a rundown part of town. Took me 2 years to rehab the two duplexes in a single house. I stayed in the single house. Across the street from me was an old vacant church built in circa 1930s, and to the right of it sat a small vacant house at the end of the street. I asked the neighbors to see who owns the small house, hoping to buy it and fix it up. I was told it sat empty for over 5 years, and someone got murdered in it 15 years back. Still hoping to talk to the owner, I got my chance one day when I was working on my roof when I saw someone cutting the yard on that property. I asked if it was for sale, and he said he would consider it. A few weeks passed, and he said that I can check out the house. I walked over, he opened the door and let me inside. But he had stayed outside. I pulled out my phone and make a video of the interior of the two bedrooms, the kitchen and the bathroom. I felt my foot getting wet, so I thought the roof must be leaking. I looked down, and one of my toes was covered in wet red paint. I began to look for the source of this red paint, but didn't see it anywhere. Then another drip landed on my feet. I then noticed that my left arm was cut and bleeding. I was shocked and didn't remember how I got cut. While I was trying to make sense of this, I felt a burning sensation across my side. I lifted my shirt and saw 3 scratch marks across my belly. I ran out and told him that I have to get a bandage for my cuts. I was so confused on how this was even real. I began to replay the video, but it cut out with the audio still going. I kept quiet about this encounter and just told my other friend about the house on the dead-end street with a crazy low price. He became curious and showed up at my place. I didn't tell him what happened to me. We walked over to the front of the house and gazed from outside the chain link fence. Right then, he got a bad cut on his finger from the fence. We went back to my place and bandaged his cut. When he went home later that night, he removed the bandage and saw that the cut on the finger was gone. Nothing. I then told the story to him. A year went by and the small house was sold to another investor. Many months of renovation went by and it went on Airbnb vacation rental. A few months into the business, there was a large pool party in the backyard on a Saturday with over 100 plus guests. I was outside making sure they wouldn't park and trash my properties. Then I had to leave to attend a family event. 40 minutes later, one of my tenants called and said the cops blocked all roads leading to my properties. I drove as fast as could home. When I got to my street, many of the party attendees were outside of the little house, with police and ambulances. I asked one of my neighbors and he told me there was a shooting inside the house with 5 people injured and 1 dead. The gunman was never found. I didn't believe anything until it happened to me and the people that were involved with this house. Now, once again, it sits vacant, waiting for the next victims to draw blood. It's truly a demonic house.
I hope you guys like that. Trying something new with the I read it on Reddit.
I did.
Yeah, I thought that was a really creepy story. I mean, like, just getting cuts out of nowhere. And I actually have a little story about that too. So, you know, I work, of course, you know, I've said it a million times on the show, but I work in corrections, right? Most people that are in the facility or within the corrections facility or the courts facility where I'm at, they're not, most of the time, they're not very happy. Right. So, one of my coworkers he was working in the front gate area of the building in corrections. And he actually had come over to me a little bit later on. He goes, Joe, you gotta check something out for me. He goes, I know you're into all this paranormal and haunted stuff. I said, what's going on? He goes, I was just sitting there. I wasn't really doing anything and, you know, just hanging out or whatever. He goes, and all of a sudden I felt like a burning on my arm. And he took a picture and I have the picture still. And he goes, and these scratches just like appeared on my arm, like out of nowhere. Like I didn't scratch myself. Like I don't even know how they even got there. But there was like 3 or 4 scratches, like small scratches on his arm, just out of nowhere, you know.
And on the picture, it's clear.
Yeah, he showed it to me. He's like, yo, what do you think? I'm like, that's creepy, dude. That's what I think. You know, like,
good job. Yeah, you know, that's very comforting, feel better, Joe. You know?
But so all right, so yeah, so with that being said, let's check in with Edgegrave Dave with his horrible review of The Monkey.
Horrible Reviews with Edgegrave Dave. All right, guys, at the time of this recording, Edgegrave Dave has just come out of The Monkey, which is currently playing in theaters in the States and everywhere else, and I did see it on opening weekend, which is not always easy to do. And it looks like Edgegrave Dave made a grave mistake, something that a lot of you might have made as well. You see, the Mandela effect is something when you remember something a certain way, you remember something that might not have actually happened, like certain people thought that maybe Freddy's sweater was black and red, when we all know that it was green and red. Or maybe you think of a certain line or you think of something like a slogan and it's a little different. Well, when I saw the poster of this thing, The Monkey, I was thinking of the 1988 Monkey Shines poster. Now, let's think about this for 1 second. The 1988 poster has a toy monkey with symbols. Now, this is based off of the 1980 Stephen King book of the same name, where it is a monkey that has symbols. But in the movie, the monkey has drums and drumsticks. So what's going on here? Well, if you compare both posters from side to side, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And I kept thinking, I want to go back and maybe see the original first. And then I realized, as far as my knowledge, there is no original movie to go back to first, aside from the Stephen King story. This is a very interesting thing. I mean, I was literally, when I saw the trailer, when I went to the theaters, when I saw the poster, I said, okay, 1988, The Monkey. Well, that was Monkey Shines, a completely different movie. How about that? This film was directed by Osgood Perkins, and if you're not familiar with the last name Perkins, he is the son of Anthony Perkins, who played Norman Bates in the Psycho films. And actually, Osgood did play a young Norman Bates in Psycho 2 from 1983, then went on to make films like Legally Blonde, Not Another Teen Movie, and then we get into films like Nope, And this is also produced by James Wan. And I just have to, every time that I bring up James Wan, I always think of Saw. You know why? Because I just can't let it go. Want to play a game? There were quite a few companies that were in the mix up here, guys. We have distribution by Neon in the United States, Black Bear internationally, and Atomic Monster and the Safran Company produce this. Now, we have quite an amazing cast here, guys. One of the people that I want to mention is Theo James. He was in the Underworld movies and the Divergent series. We have Christian Convery, that was in Cocaine Bear, which we talked about here recently. Elijah Woods, even in the movie. Rohan Campbell in Halloween Ends. That's all that I'm going to say about that. Adam Scott, Sarah Levy. You know, there were a lot of people that were involved. And you know what else was involved? There's a monkey popcorn bucket. The very popcorn bucket that Stephen King himself took a picture with. Now, I'm talking a lot about fun and games. But as you're going to see, Edgegrave warning, spoiler alert, it is actually pretty serious in certain regards. And the reason why I did not purchase that popcorn bucket is I'm going to reveal something to you guys. This movie, though, it is labeled as a horror comedy, and there are some pretty funny parts, absurdly funny parts of this movie really did scare me. I mean, the overall concept of it is really about how death chooses certain people. Very similar in a way of like a final destination of how you can't escape death. This monkey basically chooses who it wants to kill. You cannot tell it who to kill. You're not in control of it. When it raises its arms and it twirls around that drumstick and it bangs that drum, you just know that something terrible is about to happen. But the way that thing has happened, the way that the kill has happened, guys, this is not a slasher movie. The monkey toy itself almost reminds me more of like an Annabelle, not like a Chucky, but it's not really like that. Death occurrences happen, as I had said, and they're so absurd that your mouth and jaw is just wide open and you're shocked at what you see. And then it switches to some funny dialogue and you're almost so numb to everything happening. It's one of the craziest, most absurd movies that I've seen in a really, really long time. You have in the very beginning of the movie, you have a father that's some sort of like a military officer trying to return this monkey toy to like a pawn shop. And after the deaths that occur there, you have these two twin brothers, Hal and Bill. Some of the dialogue that is between Hal and Bill, especially when they're kids, is just downright ridiculous. Bill, or Billy, is always trying to bully and rank on Hal. And after a series of events occur where they have to live with their aunt and uncle, which is very short-lived, by the way, the whole concept is, what is controlling this monkey? How do you stop it? Can you destroy it? Well, you could certainly try, and the monkey always seems to return. When we later find out exactly who is trying to control the monkey, and that was a real plot twist as far as I was concerned, but there's just kind of an aura of really dark sadness about death, and that's a little bit uncomfortable, but they don't keep you there for very long because then it's back to some of the comedy that you're really used to everything. I mean, it's a really interesting concept of how they play with you. They take you to a place that's very dark and very sad, and then they kind of joke around with you and make you numb to the absurd amount of gore and death that is in this movie. This movie really lies in your subconscious and it makes you think. And I believe that that is what Stephen King was originally going for, as I did read that he was sort of dealing with the idea of death and his own mortality, and that absolutely makes sense. But it looks like this monkey is really unleashed on the whole town. And I don't want to tell you what happens at the end with this monkey. And I also don't want to tell you exactly what happens when they're children and when they're adults. It all ties into it. But these two twins have a real problem. And the problem is this monkey. I really have to give Theo a lot of credit, as he did play both Hal and... This movie does play with you an awful bit, and the one thing that you don't want to play with is the monkey itself. I did come out of the theaters with my buddy Bill, and while we were exchanging glances and looking at everybody else's reaction in the theater, and there were absurdly funny parts, like I had mentioned, there were parts of this movie that really freaked me out. So I give you a grave warning for that as well. If you're really squeamish, if you're really freaked out about the concept of death, this is a movie that you might want to watch with the lights on, or you might want to watch with other people. Definitely one of the better movies that I've seen of 2025 thus far. I'm going to shoot this one up to a 3.5 to 4 out of 5 graves. This was done very, very well on an emotional level, on a graphic level. The music is just insane. I also like some of the kind of psychedelic colors that it uses, and it has a very strange surprise at the very end of the movie. And the only hint that I'm going to give you is, looks like neon is really going places. So it's time for Monkey Business. Slip it on the track. Back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thank you so much, Edgegrave Dave, for that awesome review.
It was awesome.
It was great, right?
Monkey
he's
great.
A funny bastard, man. Edgegrave Dave is a funny
guy. Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. So, yeah. That was good, man. That was good. I haven't seen that movie yet, but I'm probably going to catch it when it comes out on streaming, because nowadays things come out on streaming like a month later, you know. But
once it comes on demand in my house, I'll go listen. I'll go watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All because of your amazing review, Edgegrave. Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. So, right now, we're going to check out now. I'm going to play a clip. It's about a minute long, and it's a clip of a show that I had done in season 2. Pretty much when I first started in with the Warped Reality Paranormal podcast, after it was the Ghost Hacks podcast. And I had interviewed this guy named Jorge, or George, and really, really nice guy, very down to earth sounding, you know, I had recently had done an interview with Steve Neal. Now, Steve Neal is a Hollywood monster maker. He helped make Ghostbusters and Fright Night and stuff back in the 80s. You know, this guy is the real deal. And he had claimed to have had, alien abductions like almost every single night since he was a kid. And very believable guy. I mean, I believe his stories because he's very, very believable. And so what he had said was that these aliens that, you know, he had encountered were actually comforting, and they weren't, you know, of course they were scary looking, but he didn't feel that they were there to hurt anybody or harm anybody. But George, on the other hand, had a completely different experience. And I'm going to play you a quick clip of what George had said. This is, he had already talked about how he, how him and his family had seen these entities around his house. And this is, check this out.
Well, that's what I thought at first, but it turns out that they do this a lot to people where they communicate with them through some sort of hypnosis or some sort of meditation. But it's actually because these people are being programmed to do these things because they have a super, apparently they started telling me all this information about how they do it. And, but just because they told me information doesn't mean that they're not hostile. I found out later that they're really hostile. They're using computers and their ships and saucers to actually, program and get inside people's heads, like, and kind of just brain scan and absorb as much information about what we do, but also utilize that for themselves, like to apparently use us as hosts for their new body scheme that they were coming up with. Like they were trying to live inside the human brain in our own consciousness.
So yeah, so that's basically, you know, I don't want to play the whole thing because you guys got to go listen to it. The show is entitled. The show is entitled, hold on a second. That's what it's entitled. No, it's entitled Aliens That Control Your Mind. It's in my second season. So definitely check that out. It's an awesome interview. George was really, really cool. And, you know,
Actually, to be honest with you, I listened to that episode. Yeah. This is an episode before I joined the podcast, and I was a big fan of this podcast way long before I joined it. And those are one of the episodes I actually watched, and I remember the whole conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a believable kid, man. I mean,
he was interesting. Yeah, he was very interesting.
You know, and he had like a lot of facts. You know, he was very detail oriented and very descriptive. You know, not somebody that would sound like they'd be lying about something. You know. And he had said that him and his family had experienced some stuff. So it was a really, really cool episode. So you guys should definitely check that out. And check out all of our other episodes also. We have TikTok and Instagram, YouTube and all that stuff. And, we actually just partnered with, the Get Haunted Paranormal Podcast Network, that encompasses a whole bunch of paranormal podcasts. And it's going to be great, man. I can't wait to have some of these guys on my show and, trade ghost stories, you know. And
that'd be fun.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be fun. It's always great to talk to like-minded people and stuff about it, you know, especially because you know you're not going to feel ostracized, you know. Whenever I talk to people, I always give, you know, and tell them my experiences, I always give them the disclaimer, like, listen, I don't care whether you believe me or not, but I know what happened, you know? I hope you guys enjoyed that as well. So we're coming up towards our last thing here, Nat. And our last thing is, of course, we can't do a show without some haunted eBay.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies.
All right. So let me get this going now. All right. I only have a couple things here, but they're cool though. You're going to like them. All right. So the first one is it's entitled Two Very Haunted or Possessed Ventriloquist Dolls. And they're going for $8,000 and the shipping is $14.96. The description goes like this. Two very haunted or possessed ventriloquist dolls. Super creepy and haunted as hell. Very difficult to sleep around. They seem to move constantly from where they are, where they sat down. They also sometimes move their heads, legs, and arms on their own. I believe they are both very possessed. Purchase at your own risk. They come in a very old, creepy, antique suitcase that I received with them. So, yeah, I actually had a ventriloquist dummy many, many years ago when I was a kid. And I ended up throwing it out. And I probably shouldn't have, because that thing would probably be worth a freaking hell of a lot of money at this point. Because it was like a really old ventriloquist dummy, but it started freaking me out. So I got rid of it.
I was going to ask you, were you ever gotten good at using it?
No, definitely not. That was another reason for throwing it out.
Collecting dust, huh?
Yeah. And actually, one of the things, I don't know, are you a Seinfeld fan, Nat? Are you a Seinfeld fan?
No, actually, I'm not.
Okay. So I never
watched a single Seinfeld episode.
So there was this Seinfeld episode where Jerry had to sleep in Kramer's room for some reason. And it was really dark and Kramer had a ventriloquist dummy. And all I remember from it, because it was super funny, it was like the end of the show, right? And Jerry's trying to sleep in the bed and it's really dark. And you see like a shadow of the dummy like run past and you hear like little tapping like across the floor. And you hear him go, Mr. Marbles? That's all I think about whenever I see a ventriloquist dummy. Not Child's Play. I think of Seinfeld.
There you go.
You know,
Child's Play wasn't a ventriloquist doll.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a ventriloquist doll. It was a good guy doll, of course.
There you go.
So let's see. The last part of Haunted eBay. Excuse me, is This one's entitled Haunted Jack in the Box. Please read Very Haunted Active Spirits Paranormal. And it's going for $300 and $16 shipping. So this one is, it's a family moved into a foreclosed home they purchased at a discounted price due to a death on the property, which they thought was from an elderly owner. After settling in, their 7-year-old daughter chose a pink room at the end of the hallway, which had an eerie feel and concealed child-sized door leading to a dark crawl space. Kind of reminds me of the Amityville house. Then when they opened the door, they discovered a broken crayon and began experiencing strange occurrences, including music sounds and tapping noises that seemed to come from the crawl space. Curious, their daughter and her friends explored the crawl space during a slumber party and found a vintage Jack in the Box, which is weird. Like the Jack in the Box, if you see the picture, it's actually a Raggedy Ann doll in the Jack in the Box, not like a regular like Jack, you know, which is kind of strange. Mm-hmm. So it startled them when it popped open on its own. After this, I mean, that's kind of what they do though, right? After this, odd occurrences intensified, including cold spots, disembodied sounds, and the mother hearing familiar music. They later discovered drawings in the crawl space depicting a little girl and a dark figure, leading them to research the home's history. They learned that a girl named Olivia had died in the house, leaving behind the toy and a drawing of the dark figure. So if you end up buying this item, you may experience orbs, footsteps, cold spots, knocking, disembodied sounds, and voices are just some of the things that have been experienced around this item. Energy comes and goes around the box like a playful child. Just remember, we cannot be certain something else is not following her. So be warned. So that's
as usual.
That's very creepy, man. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, if you want to get rid of something, you're not going to charge $300, you know? I would charge $1 if something was like really, but I guess it's not really that big of a deal. They're just trying to make some money off of a haunted object.
You guys all understand that these people are, their I guess, sole purpose is to sell to people who are into ghost stuff.
Oh,
you're not
going
to sell this Jack in the Box to a mother looking to give her 12-year-old or 8-year-old a Jack in the Box. Yeah. They're looking to sell it to people who are into these things, so they're going to spend the money for it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. But yeah, I think that was a pretty cool one. Nothing funny this time around, Nat. Nothing funny. I was trying. I really looked hard to find something real funny. The last
the fish one I sent you.
The fish. Oh, the shark one. The shark one.
Yeah.
We'll get to that one next week. We'll definitely have that one on next week. All right. So stay tuned for that, everybody. Stay tuned for that.
Oh yeah, this is a good one.
One of my favorites of recent that we actually did with Michelle was
which one
was Timus or Timus, the shaved coconut that plays ukulele. Yeah.
That's it. That was a good one.
That was a pretty good one. If you guys want to check that out, I think that was on the Christmas episode. I'm pretty sure. So check that one out. And yeah, everybody, that's going to do it for us. And thank you guys for joining us. You know, we'll have another show for you guys next week. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Stay spooky.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.